Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Next Level. I'm JVL, here with my best friend, Tim Miller, now in sunny New Orleans, however you pronounce that. And sitting in for my other best friend is Amanda Carpenter. Hey, Amanda.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going so good. It's going all the goods.
You had like too many syllables on New Orleans.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to work through it.
It's 1.5 syllables at best. You had 5, I think.
Nolens, right? Yeah. I have to say it like Carville does.
Yeah.
Yeah, at which point we'll need, you know, closed captioning for people as transcription service. So, big media week. We'll start with the media stories where Tucker Carlson suddenly...
What a world. Just really quick. What a world. The president of the United States running for re-election. That's the B block. That's the B
block.
It's
like
the C block.
No, of course I would like to do it. It's boring. It's fine. We should get to it in the C block. I'm just saying it's telling. It's just telling about our state of affairs.
So I believe it was 11 a.m. on Monday morning. And I know this because we were in our Monday editorial meeting and somebody just in the middle of the editorial meeting said, holy crap, Tucker's been fired. And it's been dripping out. As we were sitting down to tape on Tuesday, somebody from Vanity Fair reporting that possibly this is all linked to Rupert's ex-fiance saying that she believed Tucker was a biblical prophet.
I love that anecdote.
I feel like we haven't even properly digested the text divorce.
It does create a power dynamic issue. It does create a power dynamic issue if, you know, the boss's fifth wife thinks that the employee is the angel Moroni. You know, like it just, creates...
There can only be one God in this bedroom.
Oh, Amanda.
I mean, was he jealous?
Did you follow the Jerry Hall breakup where Rupert just texted her? Like, she's waiting for him at one of their chateaus where he was supposed to join her for a week. And he texts her and he says, we've had some great times together. But I regret to inform you that I have a lot of things I have to do. And so I'm calling a halt to our marriage. I think I'm dissolving our marriage. And your lawyers will hear from my lawyers. Wish you all the best.
And she was on camera. She was like, she knew there were cameras at the chateau. And so she started like breaking things and like looking at the camera and like pointing at it.
I don't know this story. I need a whole reality series on this story. Sorry. Why were there cameras there? Because he keeps the whole place.
Murdoch's. Yeah, she knows that everything
is monitoring everything at all times. Yeah. Eye in the sky, global Skynet kind of stuff. Totally normal. No. Got it.
So he
could see her real time reaction when he dumped her.
I think that she thought, I don't know, and she knew that it was on tape. And she knew that people were watching the tape.
Wait, I like the Murdoch.
Strange new respect for Rupert.
That's awesome.
So what do you guys make of the Fox thing? You know, for the first 10 minutes, I assumed that this was somehow tied to the Dominion settlement. The more we hear about it, the more it seems like it's tied to the Dominion settlement in the sense that there's a bunch of stuff that was redacted in discovery, but that Fox saw in which they didn't like the way he was talking about the Murdochs. Yes?
Yeah, and I think also Suzanne Scott. It seems, Stelter on Charlie's Pod, if you haven't listened to that, you should, which I think is a better place for like the dishy parts of this. I think we can do the political take side of things, but Stelter basically said that it probably seems like he was calling Suzanne Scott the C word in those emails.
Is that wrong?
Not good. It's not great.
Is that not allowed?
Is that not allowed?
Well, I hear in Britain They use the C word every day, and it's no big deal.
Is that a Russell Brand bit? Calling Sidney Powell the C word, borderline, you know, borderline.
No, there are so many other words you can use to describe Sidney Powell. Honestly, that's true. When I saw in the text, I was like, that is shocking. And yes, I expressed that sentiment on Twitter, and people said, well, you've never been across the pond. True statement, but I'm still offended. Like, yeah, you don't, I work in an American workplace. I've never heard anyone say that in a casual conversation. Period. End of story.
Certainly not. Hasn't come up.
Not with the boss, not in text to your producers, as just like a casual, she's a this. Like, what else is he saying? And so that would make sense if he applied that to other women. That probably wouldn't go over so well. But, I mean, this has to be a combination of all the things, right?
Yeah.
It's all the things. And what is most stunning is that whatever all the things are that we can speculate about, somehow they deemed worse than his ratings, right? That's the whole thing with Fox. Like, he was the ratings king, and they S-canned him, kicked him out the door. That's what's incredible about all this, with no replacement lined up. They've got, you know, Brian Hare killed Millie, whatever his name is, just sitting there now. It must have been really bad. Or maybe the Murdochs, I mean, he's how old again? And how many wives?
92.
Maybe they realized they wouldn't be able to sell this thing, given what is all going to come out at some point in time. And that's where I think we are.
Is Kilmeade in again on Tuesday night? I don't know. We're taping this like live across from Tucker. I don't know. He was in the first. It'll be interesting to see if it's rotating. Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, the Abby Grossberg thing, I think, is very potentially damaging. Let's just work from some facts that we do know. Mm-hmm. The culture of the Tucker Carlson staff was not just like bro-y locker room talk bad. It was like 8chan, white nationalist, bigoted, trigger everyone bad. It's like it was as bad as it could get. I mean, there have been several staffers fired for posting on white national service. That's Blake
for being
Neff.
A speech writer.
Yeah. Blake Neff, who was at the Daily Caller and then went with him, you know, was like, got outed, you know, his hand. I love, this was my favorite one of all. And there are like six of these like white nationalist bros that got fired over the years from Tucker, working for Tucker. It's like, oh my God, how do I keep hiring white nationalists?
Many people have you fired for being a racist, white nationalist, Christo fascist? Just wondering.
At least one.
Carry the two. Zero. None yet.
So anyway, the Blake Neff one I always liked the best though, because he got outed like posting on one of these shit posting sites, you know, like message boards, because he did a picture of something and his reflection was in the window. And so it's like the, you know, it's like the stupid criminal tricks. It's like his reflection was in the window. And so people were like, oh, wait, it's the Tucker Carlson guy. And there was always already some suspicions that it was him, because some of the stuff he was posting was showing up in the monologues. Anyway, you know, it's really, really bad. And so getting to see all of it is enough. I think you combine that with Rupert's thinking that Tucker was a prophet, combine it with like the January 6th stuff about, you know, the Ray Epps stuff, even for Rupert, like this was getting a little weird, you know, it was getting a little weird in particular. Like there's a lot of bad stuff on the show, but that one in particular is happening. Combine it with Dominion, combine it with Grossberg, and then combine it with the fact that it's like the new head woman in charge of calling the C word. You know, that's a lot bad. My hot take on all this that I haven't shared anywhere that I saved for this little podcast.
Is
the implications. I was thinking about this, you know, I've been thinking about it. Everyone wants to know my opinion on the Tucker thing. I think that they're going to be doubling down on MAGA, on Trump.
Fox will.
Yes, there's this whole thing about like
the
implications.
Fired the only populist on primetime TV. They sacrificed our angel, blah, blah, blah. Who's better than that? Who are they going to dig up?
This is, I guess I just mean the calling off the dogs. You know, this whole like, oh, Ron DeSantis, we're going to do a Today Show style segment with you where you're throwing the baseball and we're talking about how much you love puppies and non-Bud Light beer and how great and normal of a guy you are. I don't know. This is what I'm watching now, is that like they are going to be worried about the same thing as the post-election stuff, losing to Newsmax, losing to Real America Voice, they're losing Tucker, and that this whole dalliance that the Murdochs had, this is where the savvy Murdochs come in. This whole dalliance of, oh, let's get rid of Trump. They've decided instead, why don't we just get rid of Tucker? The Trump problem might be out of our hands. And I could see them pivoting back towards Trump in a real way.
I just want to add this point, because I've been thinking about it too, is I don't know what getting rid of Tucker does to their digital streaming strategy, because he was a big part
of that.
You know, maybe she's a CNN Plus in the back of my mind, but he was really the only talent that I could observe that was performing there. There's like a lot of weird specials. They are even into like, you know, housing type decoration shows, but he was the draw. And so if you don't have that person, and he, you know, that is where they wanted the super MAGA people to go, because everybody knows cable's dying. You got to get into streaming, got to do subscription. They don't have a replacement host there that I can see. And so I think they're in more trouble and might be looking for a sale because Murdoch is old and can't trust the kids. Or maybe I'm watching too much Succession, which I'm not really watching, but I know the plot.
So here's my question to you. One of the things Sarah said to me at some point in the last month was that when she does focus groups and ask people questions about their media diet, that as often as not, instead of saying Fox, people will say, I watch Tucker. And this is like Xerox and photocopies, right? They, you know, what they mean is that they watch Fox, but they say Tucker because Tucker is Fox and he's the big thing that they watch on Fox, et cetera, et cetera. Because this is really like, you know, Stalin unpersons Trotsky, and all of a sudden Trotsky no longer appears in any of the photos in the Kremlin, right? It's just like Tucker's just gone. He's there on Friday. He signs off, says, see you guys on Monday. And then he's gone. They're running commercials and promos for his show on Monday morning on the network, and he doesn't go on air. To have your audience and to just disappear their big star without any real explanation, can you do that without losing the audience? Doesn't that smell like cancel culture? I mean, these are people who have primed to sniff out cancel culture anywhere in the world, right? Does that feel a little like cancel culture to you? I don't know. Like, what does the Fox audience do about this? Or nothing? Do they just come back to their pellet? You know, they're like little hamsters. Like, you know, they go over to the salt pellet, take that.
It depends on what he says and whether the audience can find him. And this is what I'm really most interested in, is what were the terms of his contract? We know that he's getting paid out for the duration of it. I don't know how much further that goes. But how much is he sidelined? Because the way that these contracts works, they essentially own you whether you go on the air or not.
Right.
I don't know what kind of outs he had. They're called outs in terms of you being able to do other times of media. But given that he was on primetime, obviously there's going to be a non-compete. Given that he was very active for their digital strategy, I'm guessing they brought up his digital rights, right? $20 million is a lot of money to pay out for him to do nothing. That means they own the rights to his talent on many degrees. Is he allowed to even go write for other outlets at this point? Can he have any kind of digital product? I mean, Bill O'Reilly and other people have done that post-Fox, but that's after their contracts run out and depending on what they're able to do outside of that contract. And so that is going to determine how he is able to communicate and what he is going to do next. But I could see him building a very successful, you know, I watched his speech at Heritage that he delivered the night before he knew he was going to get fired. And, you know, he's a contrarian. I mean, other people know him better than I do, but I could see him just building a very successful, straight up called the contrarian outlet, where you have the Alex Joneses and you have the JFK Juniors doing every wacky point of view for the debate. And he would just laugh and have a good time and take his saunas in Maine, which he talks about. People say he's going to run for president. I don't buy that one bit. The guy seems to be very private. He opened up his speech at Heritage talking about how this is the first time he's been with people in 3 years, the first time he's taken an elevator or worn socks in the last 3 years. That does not scream a man of the people who's going to go retail politicking in New Hampshire to me.
Yeah, so I'll take those points backwards. We'll take Amanda's point first. I think that the contract is really important. There was a story that was breaking as we were coming on here about, you know, for somebody saying that he is locked up through 25. Yeah. Now, again, can you cut your way out of that? Can you, you know, can the big time lawyers come up with something? You know, can you decide? I mean, he's a very wealthy man. Can you decide he doesn't want to take the money? You know, there are a lot of ifs on that. But running for office is not a competitive move. You know, that is something that he could do. I agree with you. I think he's a weird fit for it. That was a lie that he told Heritage. He's an easy liar because I saw him in front of a big room of people just like 3 months ago in Arizona. But his speech there was very strange. In some ways, it was interesting when I read about the Turning Point USA thing, because at least his speech was interesting. It was it was provocative, right? Whereas everybody else said the same shit. Like his was faux introspective, probably, but introspective, you know, and it just wasn't a normal stump speech, right? And so, he's not a good fit for that for a lot of reasons. But if he decided to do it, he's obviously an extremely talented performer. So, you know, I don't think it's a 0% chance. And this guy is just like, what the hell am I going to do? Is he going to really fish? Fishing gets boring. You know, this is like the Tom Brady thing, you know, in sports where people are like, oh, you're going to go hang. I'm going to go hang out with my kids. I'm going to spend time with my family. You know, that's great. I'm sure Tom Brady loves his kids. But spending the time with the kids is, you know.
Careful.
You can get your fill. You can cherish every moment with them and think, you know, I'd like something else to do also. And fishing is also a very engaging endeavor for Matt Labash loves to fish. Again, only a certain amount of hours in the year can you fish, right? Like so something else he might want to decide he wants to do. I think that's the scary result of this. I think those are the two, both that and Fox pivoting back to Trump, are the two potential negative externalities for this. Everything else about deplatforming Tucker is positive. Lastly, just on the pellet question that JVL asked about with the Fox viewers, I think the question is, what percentage of these people are full MAGA and what percentage of them are TV zombies, right? Yeah. I had a very lovely lady who I met on the street the other day. She's like, I see you on Channel 72. And, you know, I get the sense that this person, God love her, just like leaves on Channel 72, MSNBC on locally all the time, right? I think that there's a big percentage of the Fox audience that just leave on channel, whatever it is. They're Fox people.
I'm watching my shows.
Yeah, I'm watching my stories. Hey, Seth will come on, whatever. There is a percentage, just based on the numbers, that tuned in for Tucker. Mm-hmm. That did not tune in for Brett Baer. That did not tune in for Hannity. That turned it off when Hannity came on, or Laura came on, rather. And so do those people disappear? Is that a meaningful enough number that Fox needs to, you know, figure out how to deal with that? I don't know. And there will also be, you know, vultures out there. Shapiro, Bannon, you know, all these people are going to smell blood. And I said that was my last thing. But my last thing, people are like, oh, who cares? Kind of. I can understand the sense of like, why obsess over this? Like, it is just going to be the palette. It is just going to be a rotating cast. Tucker was a category difference from all these other people. He just was. Like, the types of material that he trafficked in was more pernicious than the other hosts on the network. His brand, you know, like these other people, when you go to the CPACs, when you go to the Turning Point USA things, they're walking down the hall. They're celebrities. You know what I mean? They're like, you want their autograph. You want their picture with them. The Tucker connection was different. Like, I'm not saying it had a ton of depth, but like there was something there that he was molding them in a certain way, ideologically, that was very, I think, damaging to the fabric of the country, but I think gives him a lot more power and influence than, say, O'Reilly, who was just really, really famous, but kind of like doing the stuff that everybody else was doing, it just like a little bit better.
I just want to close this segment by acknowledging that I was right about Dominion and having consequences.
That's right. I mean, I'm going to get a t-shirt. All right, Don Lemon, do we have anything to say about Don Lemon's being cashiered?
Yeah. Let's pour one out for old Don Lemon. He's been good to the program. Cheers, buddy. Hopefully he gets down here to Louisiana.
I believe I'm the only person here who's never been on his show, correct?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Correct.
I mean,
look at that. JVL never invited to Don Lemon's show.
You wouldn't go. Like, you're dying to do cable news, JVL. Yeah.
It would be nice to be asked, Amanda. It would be nice to be asked.
After you say so many times, people don't.
All right, do you want me to get you on the 11th hour with Stephanie Ruhle? Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
it's
we can make this happen for you.
It's on 11:15 p.m. Eastern. I'll get you on there by Memorial Day. You ready? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, Memorial Day is free. You can probably get on 11 Memorial p.m. Day weekend. On Memorial Day.
Yeah.
In the pre-Zoom days, do you guys remember this? Back when you have to actually get to a studio?
Yeah.
There was a certain class of Washington pundit who would be the one willing to say yes to like 2:30 in the afternoon on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like desperate to get on TV. And so would wait to, because, you know, the bookers filling afternoons on weekends is really, really hard because it just blows up your whole day. But there's a certain class of pundit who would be like, yep, ready to go. Send a car. And I will, you know, schlep the 45 minutes from my Maryland suburban apartment to, you know, the studios down by Union Station. And I will spend what it winds up being 4 hours of my weekend so that I can be on TV for 120 seconds. Sure thing.
As Gore Vidal said, never miss a chance to have sex or be on television.
I guess.
Oh, I can think of all kinds of reasons to skip both of those.
Wisdom from Gore Vidal.
All right, Don Lemon.
Anywho, Amanda, you have some Don Lemon thoughts?
No, I mean, I spent a lot of late nights, you know, election coverage, you know, on a show, remote, in studio. He was really nice. I mean, I know there's a lot of stories about the diva-like behavior, and obviously some of that is true. But it was nice because when you go on at 11 o'clock at night, you could say your piece. And there were a lot of articles I got to really flesh out when I had my book out. His production team did a really nice job. And so I think the transition was extremely hard to go from having your own show and being in charge of it from 9 to 11 p.m. Or no, he was 10 to midnight, which is a hard shift that he did for many years. And then to automatically go to morning television with two younger co-hosts. A three-person show is kind of crazy anyway. And to have to share that, I think there was just obviously going to be problems with that kind of format. And ta-da, there was. So.
Yeah, it seems like he might have been had some diva qualities. So I don't know him that well, so I won't grant that. I don't really know what CNN's doing though. I always said about political campaigns, the thing that was annoying is that everybody thought they were an expert. You know, I'd go home to like the high school reunion and people would be telling me what Jeb should be doing. And I was like, I've said to all my doctor friends, I'm like, they don't tell you how to cut the eyeball open, you know, when you go back to high school. But okay, anyway.
That's one here very I am specific doctor friend you're talking about there.
Yeah, it is. here is my version of that, though, for Chris Licht. It's like, it doesn't seem like they have any plan to attract people. Like, I don't know. That morning show made no sense from the start. Those people didn't seem to have any chemistry. This notion that CNN in a post-Trump era, we're not in a post-Trump era, like, needs to be more serious. And it's like, we're going to win back center-right people. It's like, who? Who? It's fine. Sure, there are people that read and love our friends at the Dispatch. Like, that's great. Like, they read, you know, but is that enough for cable TV show? You know, and me, I went on Steve's podcast when we talked about this, and like, I was like, this is a niche product you guys are offering. That's fine. That's nothing wrong with a niche product, but that's not, who are you bringing back in? All the Republicans like Trump, right? So like, who are you trying to attract by being more center? Like, Trump has, even the people that like DeSantis like Trump. You know, so great. Maybe you can get 8% more people into the show. Does that help your numbers? Obviously not. It didn't make sense from the start. The math isn't there on the numbers. And then, you know, I wish they would just say Don Lemon was a jerk and that's why we got rid of him. Then you have to do this post hoc stuff about how, oh, in these interviews, the Nikki Haley thing, which was a gaffe, but like, you're doing live TV for many hours. It was a gaffe. You apologized. Then did you see the Vivek Ramaswamy one? The one that they were citing? Vivek Ramaswamy goes on the show and is like, black people should thank the NRA for protecting their rights. And the NRA was a key group in helping secure the civil rights of Americans. Yeah. That's like the Civil Rights Act. Thanks to the NRA, the Civil Rights Act happened. Yeah, interesting.
That's a hot take.
Yeah, interesting perspective. Don is like, what the fuck are you talking about? And people are talking in his ear, and he's like, stop talking in my ear. I need to engage with this insane point this guy is making. And then, you know, they go back and forth, and Don just like, are you blacksplaining to me? And, you know, maybe you didn't have to bring the race in, but it's just like, you know, this shows just that this whole, you know, what are you supposed to do? When a Republican comes on TV and is like, oh, black people need to thank the NRA for their rights. Like, you're supposed to just be like, oh, well, there's one opinion. Okay, and on the other side, not true, right? Like, I don't know. And that's what we're seeing and trying to go. And I just don't think that there's an audience for it, except for in times of hurricanes or war or whatever. And that's an important service, but that's not, you know, that's not a Tuesday.
Here's a question that kind of gets into how you think Fox is going to lead into MAGA or Trump and what Licht is trying to do. You know, that debate that Don was having with Vivek, like in the Zucker era, that is definitely something they would have thought,
keep it running.
Lean into this, like, let's engage. And you can see Poppy just leaning back, scrolling her phone. She's like, uh-oh, this is not, eject. But, you know, it's like Licht is trying to dial all the politics down and be super bland. So maybe if Fox goes super Trump, which I don't totally believe that quite yet, but I think it is clearly the strategy of CNN to turn down the politics. And that's how they think they're going to attract viewers, by just kind of like just flattening everything. I mean, they're bringing in Gayle King and Barkley. What? Like, that's going to be their 9 p.m. out. Charles Barkley. Do you guys see this?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, Barkley's great, but.
Yeah, but for 9 p.m. and the prime time at CNN, is that what news viewers want to see? Like, if you're trying to be a new trusted news station, is it Gayle King and the sports guy? Like, maybe on the Sunday morning.
Yeah. But also, we're going into 2024, and the guy that tried to end our democracy is one of the leading candidates. Okay, so like politics
and
is kind of important.
They just
want
to flatten and smooth all that out. It makes no sense to me. But, you know, I'm not getting paid Chris Licht money.
All right. I'm available, though. I don't know. If Zaz, whatever his name is. I don't want to leave you guys, but if somebody wants to give me a network, I've got some ideas.
Well, if you get a network, can I get a show?
Yeah, well, okay. We'll see. We'll have to do a screen test.
Will I get to go on one of your shows as a guest?
No, only definitely on Sunday not. At 2:30
on Sunday afternoon. Definitely and I have not. To be live in studio, right? I'm not allowed to Zoom it. I have to be live in studio. Great.
Mm-hmm. Wah, we'll get you a car.
Okay, so the other big news is that the President of the United States has announced that he's running for re-election, as some people said was going to happen all along.
Who?
Take your victory lap. Would you like to run this around guy, your little Zoom studio?
This guy. So, I don't know. I had I did my take today in the triad when I said, like, you know, you people, you're going to like it. You're going to get more Biden and you're going to like it. Because you know what the truth is? I think people are basically going to be fine with it. And especially if Trump is the nominee. All of this stuff about Biden is too old is going to go away. And everybody's just going to say five Hail Marys for him every night that he doesn't fall and that he basically can make his way through November of 2024, because there is nobody better. If the goal is to beat Donald Trump again, Biden is the best bet. He is the best. Even if you had a magic wand and could just tap any Democrat to become magically the nominee, You wouldn't want anybody other than Biden. Am I crazy, Amanda?
It's remarkable that he's completely cleared the field, right? Like, there's no challenger. I think that is the number one testament of his success. He has convinced everyone else not to run before he's even declared. I mean, today Bernie Sanders put out the statement essentially saying, yep, we're going to do this thing. He is the unity candidate, which you should expect from the incumbent president, but still, given his age, given his approval ratings aren't great, I think that's pretty remarkable.
Well, this is one of the markers, historically, one of the markers of successful reelection campaigns is that you have to avoid a primary, right? And if, as a sitting president, you avoid a primary, then your chances of winning reelection go up a lot.
Unless you're Trump. I want to rage about the age thing for 1 second, and then I have some other announcement thoughts, but since you brought it up with the Biden age thing. I've said it, you know, Sarah, everybody said it. Like, there are legit concerns about the age. I have anxiety about debate two, you know, something happening that shows the age when it's too late. Right, like all of that. I have anxiety about it. It's just, it's a risk factor. There's a risk factor with any candidate. But I got to tell you, it feels like some of the mainstream outlets like are, you know, trying to go overboard in focusing on the age thing in order to like display their lack of bias or whatever. There's a Times editorial about it the other week. When was the last time one of these places did an editorial about Trump's age? Like, Trump's age gets like thrown in as like a throwaway line in article in like editorials about Biden's age. Like, oh, by the way, Trump's old too. It's like, Trump is old as fuck. Okay, Trump is out there just eating well-done steaks. All right, like that guy, his brain is mush. He's bragging about doing like a basic cognitive test, like remembering five words in an order.
Woman, right?
TV, right? Like, I mean, you know, stuff that, you know, a child could pass. I mean, so I just don't. And like, who's his VP going to be? Like, it's certainly not going to be somebody that everybody's like, Carrie, oh man, we're going to be in good hands if Carrie Lake is in there, or Tucker, or whoever, Elise Stefanik. So I just, that part does bug me, that there's this asymmetry of all this that is, and I feel like that this is going to happen over and over again in this campaign, where people feel like they have to, you know, try to make this something more than what it is.
I mean, there's a reason for this, right? And what that is that the delta between what Joe Biden sounded like in 2012 and what Joe Biden sounds like in 2023 is noticeable. Whereas Trump, word salad is word salad, right? And this is in a weird way, his cognitive
That's
limitations.
Not true. Go back and watch the Trump Larry King interviews.
Well,
he's an
idiot,
go back but
really
he's
far,
not.
Right? Compared to 2016,
yeah, he's using three syllable words, and Trump's using three syllable words in the Larry King interviews. Someone just did a tweet about 2010 where he was talking about topography.
Ooh, that's a lot of syllables.
Trump's not saying that. Yeah, he's not saying that word now. Okay, Trump is declining. All right, he's the same.
No, he is, but
he's declining.
You see it with Trump. So again, just having watched a bunch of videos back to back of him, where you see the decline is not in the words themselves, because he just talks gobbledygook and has been talking gobbledygook for 7 years. You see it in the energy and the animation, and so you see it. And that's why I'm fine with people writing all these thumb-sucking pieces about it. Because the truth is, if Trump and Biden are the nominees, then everybody's just going to see the crazy, right? I mean, right. It's going to be obvious when you see Trump. And the choice is, do you want the old guy who's crazy or the old guy who isn't as sharp as he was 4 years ago?
But the strategy for Biden will be much like it was in 2020, is to just lay back and let the contrast serve itself.
Yeah. Just say, hey, I'm governing. I'm busy governing America.
Yeah. Right. But that's, it's a little risky because action usually trumps inaction. We'll see.
Usually.
But on the point about being annoyed that people always reference Biden's age, I mean, they have to say something. I mean, it is sort of the both sides thing, but that's like the most obvious thing to say, right? They're not saying he's a terrible president, his programs are failing. He's just saying, yeah, he's old. Like, it's unavoidable. And so he's just got to make do with it.
Did you guys see my other take, the RNC's response video?
No.
You not seen this, JVL?
No.
Oh, you're going to love this.
The AI
Tell
thing?
Me more.
Yeah, the AI thing. The RNC put out a video about what life would be like in 2025 or 6 if Joe Biden was reelected. And it included all AI images. And it was, this like hypothetical dystopian future where San Francisco has, they're like martial law has set in San Francisco. Yeah. And,
Do they know Joe Biden's president now?
Right. I mean, it's just like these guys, it's such the D team over there. The talent drain. I feel bad for the 26-year-old Democratic strategist that has to compete against like 15 other really smart people to get the job of like deputy rapid response director at the DNC. And it's just like these clowns that are getting these jobs at the RNC because they're the only ones that'll raise their hand to be like, I guess I'll take this. It's just the weakness of their opposition. When Donald Trump right now is the nearly presumptive nominee, a heavy favorite, and in real life,
he's clearing the field too.
Yeah. In real life, this guy spurred on an attack on the Capitol. Yeah. And your response is, oh, here's a hypothetical future using fake Terminator images. I mean,
it's awesome.
That's about as strong of a sign of Joe Biden's political strength as is out there. And you can focus on the numbers that are like, oh, a certain number of people don't want him to run or whatever. But if it's like, if that's your opening punch, not great.
The truth is life is okay.
Yeah,
this is,
not
this
great.
Is the problem.
The truth is
the
life is okay.
For the Republicans is that life is okay. And it may not be okay come October of 2024. We could hit a recession. Any number of things could Biden could fall and break his hip, right? This is a thing that happens to 80-year-olds.
Well, usually their hip breaks and then they fall. No, that's why everybody gets broken, their hip.
That's
no, their bones are weak. Your bones break.
Your bones are brittle.
And then you fall. But they
is
think
he doing
that
pigeon? Is he doing pigeon? The pigeon? Yeah, the pigeon pose and yoga. JV only knows about pigeon.
I bet Joe does not do yoga.
That doesn't help with bone density and brittleness.
Joe thinks that yoga is malarkey.
Yeah. The ice cream is probably good.
Which is why he's strong.
Ensure. He's drinking his Ensure.
Soft
man, let's talk a little bit about the collapse of the Republican primary field, which you just mentioned, because that is highly interesting to me. Mike Pompeo out. Nikki Haley going maybe somewhere, I guess, kind of slow.
She gave a speech at the SBA list today. It was supposed to be like a major speech on, you know, abortion policy, which, you know, I'm interested in talking about. But the funniest thing about the staging for it is that the Politico write-up said it was conducted in a converted break room, which tells you the massive audience that came to listen to Nikki Haley talk about her thoughts on abortion, which amounted to a bunch of wishy-washy, mishmash mush.
Just really quick on Tim Scott, pundit accountability here, not a virgin. That was, we did discover after the last podcast, and Amanda actually helped with the research on this. It wasn't personal, you know. But
I'm sorry.
So he was only the 50-year-old version?
Yeah, 40, I think.
He was the
40-year-old. Yeah. So anyway, we corrected it in the show notes on the last show, but this is, we're accountable here, okay? This is not fake news. This is not disinformation. If I say something that's wrong, I do like to correct myself. Not a virgin. Any longer. I mean, he was a virgin for quite some time, but not a virgin any longer.
Okay, anyway. The thing that's weird is that he's just not married. I mean, typically presidential candidates are married, or at least have like a longtime partner of some sort. He's an outlier in this respect, especially for the church community, you know?
Can't remember when our last unmarried president was. I mean, this is
Edith Wilson.
Like, no, I mean, you know, maybe like James Buchanan wasn't married or something. I don't know. That's an Adam Kuyper question. But
anyway, the point is nobody realized that he wasn't married, let alone other things.
I derailed us. The field. We were talking about how the field.
The unscheduled disassembly.
Tim Scott, which will derail any conversation, let alone when he's asked about abortion. He brings up banking committee hearings, which also like, okay, maybe the unmarried guy who was a virgin until he was 40 or 50 years old shouldn't be talking about abortion policy. Just saying. Strikes me as kind of weird. Everybody says he's the next big thing. No, I don't. I think that disqualifies you from the conversation. Sorry, that's my personal opinion. Glenn Youngkin apparently says that he's waiting to make a decision after November when the Virginia legislature session closes, which pretty much means keep giving me money, maybe.
He'll have a hot 8 weeks to get to Iowa.
Yeah, but he's not running. So that leaves Trump.
Vivek Ramaswamy.
Vivek. Whatever.
Asa.
Oh, yeah, he's running. Okay. Haley and Tim Scott, right?
Yeah.
What a field. And
Tiny D.
I'm going to say Trump has cleared it. Why doesn't it? He's not running yet.
Chris Christie.
Has Chris Christie actually declared? Is he just playing footsie to get more interviews and talk like a tough guy?
Christie Leibovich breakfast interview. If you haven't read it in The Atlantic, it's so good.
It's amazing. It's just so good. Yeah, I think Christie doesn't run. I think Brian Kemp doesn't run. You know, we're going to wind up with a very tiny field, I think.
Which everybody you said was good for DeSantis.
But. Yeah. Chris Sununu is not running.
Want to say gut check. Do you guys think Ron DeSantis is running, yes or no?
Yes, of course, yes.
I think so. I think he has to.
I don't know.
Don't you?
I think he has cold feet.
Oh, I think he has cold feet, too.
So they're about to announce $30 million raised. It's hard to say no once you do that kind of stuff. A lot of pressure. And this is why he's flying to Japan. He's doing the mailers. In the article I have tomorrow on his campaign, a friend in Iowa sent a mailer that they're sending into Iowa that had quotes from people from all the early states. I mean, like, he's running. Like, the only thing that he's not doing is actually raising money into a campaign committee because it's illegal.
And getting endorsements from people who know him? He's not doing that.
Well, he's trying to, though. He seems like he's repelling everyone that he meets. It's like a human stink bug.
Three assistant editors at Compact Magazine have endorsed him.
Yeah. Like, he went and did you see the other thing? I have 8 half-written articles right now, which JVL really likes. And one of them that's coming soon. Did you see Lee Zeldin? Zeldin was like supposed to be in DeSantis's leadership team, and he was the big hot thing, and everybody was like, oh, Lee Zeldin. DeSantis went and campaigned for him, endorsed Trump.
So, Tim, what is it when you have all this money, all this potential, why are these people bolting? Why does Lee Zeldin bolt? I mean, that's kind of a dramatic move.
He has a stench on him.
Right. Yeah, but like, still, he's an opportunist, stinky, stenchy person. Why does he bolt?
He doesn't think that he's going to win. He doesn't think he can win.
Yeah, I think loser stench is what
loser stench is what I mean.
Yeah.
But I don't. It's crazy though. It's crazy. I'm not exactly bullish on Ron DeSantis, but I do think everyone's overstating just how disastrous of a situation he's in. I mean, like, a lot can happen between now and January, and he's the only one standing there with the bag. You know, if something does happen, really. I mean, none of those other people you mentioned, the nominee is not going to be Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, Vivek Ramaswamy, Asa, God love him. So I don't quite get
I think there must be. Yeah. Vivek Ramaswamy is finishing third in New Hampshire. Go write that
down.
Maybe second. Yeah.
Ron Paul finished second.
Yeah. Yeah. Vivek finishes second or third in New Hampshire. Look, it is possible that DeSantis runs and turns it into really a demonstration campaign where he has viewed this entire thing as I'll be Trump's understudy. And if something really blows up or the guy dies or something, then I'm there.
Yeah.
But I won't run super hard and I'll take my beating in the two early states. Then I'll say I'm staying until South Carolina. I'll go down to South Carolina and get my teeth handed to me. And then I will drop out and gracefully endorse Trump.
I mean, in the olden days, that's how you got nominated.
Right. This is how you get nominated.
That's how Hillary got nominated. That's how McCain got nominated. Exactly. Right. Like, that's how Bush got nominated.
It is possible to me that, again, his campaign will wind up as a demonstration effect and not as an actual serious campaign where he's trying to win the nomination.
I think that's right. But I still think you can see the flash of fear where, you know, when you think you're going to have something and you envision the future and you can see it all laid out and all the MAGA conservative ink types are rallying around you and you think it's all set up. And then it just takes a couple things to say, you know what, this isn't going to happen this way. And I just think he looks scared.
This is the big thing about Trump, right? I mean, Trump, whatever else you want to say about him, he can take a punch, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, he indicts, you get... January 6th, the 2022 elections, an indictment, all three things which should finish him. He just like goes down a bit and pops back up. This is the first adversity DeSantis has ever seen. And he looks like a scared pig.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on Hannity. He goes on Hannity and he's like in Japan. It's unclear why he's in Japan. And he's like, the setup is he's squinting.
Look at me being presidential.
He's squinting at the TV. And Hannity's like, so why is Trump so mad at you? What's the deal? And he's like, blah, 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 blah. He can't even. It's just like, Hannity, I trust.
His wife is sitting there, like, perfect. Like, if you picked out a woman from an oil painting as first lady, she's. It's just, and he's just bugging out. The contrast between them is so funny to me.
But let me tell you, here's a little behind the scenes scoop for people who've made it 50 minutes into this podcast. Like, as somebody who dealt with Hannity, the Hannity interview, this is not an aggressive interview. Okay. Like, Hannity would call you if you have a good comms person. Maybe DeSantis doesn't have this because he doesn't trust anybody. But if you have a good comms person, they can call up Sean, be like, hey, Sean, like, what are you going to ask? And like, Sean will tell you what he's going to ask. And so, like, DeSantis got a very light, just a nice little softball about why him and Trump are beefing. And, like, he just can't field it without looking very strange. So that's not a great sign.
He is not very good on his feet. And we saw the answer he gave in Japan. Like, what is that, right? I mean, I am sorry. That's
Mickey Mouse. Like,
what?
That's bad. That's bad.
It's not good.
Other bad DeSantis. So I had missed this until Amanda sent it to us for the show. DeSantis seems to want to turn Florida into the capital for capital punishment and seems really high on executing more people. He seems to be pushing on a bill, wants to have the death penalty for child sexual battery, which the Supreme Court ruled some time ago, although it was 5-4, death penalty has to be only for homicide, which I assume the child sexual battery thing is a QAnon dog whistle, right? You know, we're a lot of the groomers and the frazzle drippers, and we're gonna stick them in the gas chamber in Florida. And he wants to lower the standard in Florida. We're currently in death penalty cases. The jury has to be unanimous on the sentence, and he wants it to be 8 voters, which I think is insane. I've been against the death penalty, you know, as long as I've been alive. I've become more against it if one can get more against the death penalty, like the more I've seen of the justice system, where, you know, before I was against it even when I had perfect faith in the justice system as a kid. Now that I've seen what it looks like, I'm like, fuck no, you can't let the government do things that are irreversible because the government gets things wrong all the time. Anyway, is anybody else grossed out by this? I guess is what I'm trying to grasp around here for.
I am, for a different reason. So is my understanding that in Florida it had to be unanimous. He wants to take it back down to 8. And he made this policy proposal in reaction to the conviction of the Parkland shooter, who was not going to get the death penalty because not all the jurors were unanimous. And so there was outcry over that. You know, like, I think in cases like that where it's very clear where a heinous crime is committed, I'm okay with that. I don't know where that puts me on the pro-life schedule, but for something like that, I'm okay with it. What I am uncomfortable with is that DeSantis didn't come from this from like, okay, I've thought about this and heinous decisions. This is what I believe. He did it in reaction to Parkland as sort of a way to make the public feel better. Instead of doing anything about guns, you know, reducing the ability for guns to get in the hands of crazy people, or actually being vocally supportive of the red flag laws that are on the books in Florida, this is where he goes. Like, I'm going for blood. I'm going to be tough. This guy should die, which, you know, I sort of agree with. But that is not fixing the problem, and is doing it with this degree of bloodlust that should never be shown by a governor, a presidential candidate, anybody in office. And so I think that's where it gets a little scary. And he's also seems to be competing with Trump, who has been talking about bringing back the death penalty for all kinds of crimes, joked around drug about dealing, using the guillotine, you know, mass executions. Like, that is where, you know, my spirit starts to leave my body a little bit and get scared.
Yeah.
So
Trump has long fetishized Duterte, who's the strong man in the Philippines, who, you know, basically had, you know, unsanctioned killings by the thousands. And Trump loves that, which, you know, shocker, is, again, a hallmark of authoritarians everywhere, is that they want to be able to use the power of the state to kill people. And I don't know. I guess this is, I look at the DeSantis thing and I think, is this him trying to ante up even with that stuff with Trump? Tim?
Yeah, well, this is what the article's on this morning. It's just like, he has decided that the way that he competes, like, he knows internally that he can't go toe-to-toe with Trump on the rhetoric stuff, that they're not going to be able to do that good stage, that he competes. And this is the Cruz strategy. There was some Cruz elements to it. I compared it to Warren in the article this morning, is that he competes by being like, I'm the checklist guy. And if you watch, he spoke at if you spoke at the Utah convention, I watched his speech at the Utah convention, and it's just, he checks, it's a tick through. It's the abortion, the 6 weeks. It's Disney. It's all this weird online stuff that people have no idea what he's talking about. Most people, like the ESG and the DEI and the woke and the
CRT
and the digital currency.
No federal digital currency.
No, never in Florida's border will there be a digital. And people are like, yay, okay, weird. But like, a couple of super online people like really care about this stuff. So that's what he's doing. And so I just think that the capital punishment thing, which I didn't mention in the story, is in the same vein, is like, okay, on all this cultural issues, you know, it's that gross immigration bill where, you know, you can get in trouble for just transporting an immigrant, right? Like, it's an immigration check, you know, and then we sent the immigrants to Martha's Vineyard. You know, it's abortion. It's 6 weeks. It's constitutional carry. You know, it's the death penalty. The problem is that just like, there aren't that many people that actually fit that. Like, people say that the
Republican
base, voters. Like, there is not actually a majority of Republican voters that are like, I'm hardline right on every single issue. Like, people have complicated views, you know, like it's not like it is on Twitter.com where there's a war and you have to be on your side all the time. Like, regular voters, like, they have some pretty crazy views on a lot of things. Republican primary voters, like, for the fact that Donald Trump won the last election, for example, and immigration stuff. But like, once you, the more detail you plug in on all of that, the more voters start to be like, I don't know about this, actually. And like, Warren ran into that in 2020. And I do think that this is DeSantis, it's a strategic move to check off all those boxes, and it's not actually serving him as well as he thinks.
Boy, howdy. Well, good show. Long show.
Great show. Give us a participation trophy.
And great show.
We all deserve a trophy.
I wanted to talk about the participation trophy stuff, I wasn't feeling it. So
Tim want to talk about Supreme Court ethics, which I am very disappointed about. Your ethics commitment, Tim, but fine. We did 50 minutes.
Now people are seeing behind the scenes.
On Friday, I'm going to talk about the participation trophy stuff with Sarah on The Secret Show. And I'm just going to go right here and tell you that I would bet anything Sarah Longwell is 100% down with a state ban on participation trophies.
Yeah, probably.
I don't think, no, not a federal ban. Sarah does not like the long arm
state
of the
ban.
Government.
Not the federal government.
Not the heavy end of the state. But she definitely, I got to tell you, she definitely, if one of her kids got a participation trophy, that she would be throwing that in the trash.
A school board ban. Sarah should run for school board on a participation trophy ban.
And as the corollary 1A to that rule, losers of all child sports games have to go to school the next day wearing an I am a loser hat to try to help them really appreciate the importance of victory and winning. That's the Longwell way.
No, it's not.
Oh, Sebastian is coming to her defense right now. Thank gosh,
I'm kidding. Anyway, I will talk about all of this with Sarah on Friday.
And you'll be able to listen to it if you're a Borg Plus member. I'm pitching your show, The Secret. Yeah, that's only for Borg Plus members. $8. Not that much. It's a good deal. Better than Twitter, Blue.
Go hit the like button for us. Hit the subscribe button for us. I would like to have more 5-star reviews, please, on your Apple Podcasts app. Please go for that. Please, in the comments on the podcast app, please talk about how great Amanda is, because I do grade all of your comments. I grade all of your reviews. We'll see you again on Sunday.
I actually have a good one. We've taped it, so I can say. You know, I don't like to jinx it if we haven't taped it yet. We've already taped it. Abigail Spanberger.
Oh, good.
Oh, man, we do a little
Sarah
politics.
Longwell favorite.
I know, we do a little more politics than I wanted, but we get into the CIA career. CIA career is a strange life. You know, I didn't realize this. I thought she was just kind of like somebody that worked at you get a whole cover story. It's like her college friends like thought she was a Pilates instructor or something. Not Pilates instructor, but like you have to have a whole different deal. And I was like, wow. So we got into that a little bit. Some parenting stuff. That's great. She's
basically
great.
She was Jennifer Garner in Alias.
I didn't watch that, but it sounded like it.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.